This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Are you driving your car or doing laundry right now? Podcasts go best when they're bundled with another activity. Like Progressive home and auto policies, they're best when they're bundled too. Having these two policies together makes insurance easier and could help you save. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save nearly $800 on average. Quote a home and car bundle today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary.
WNYC Studios is supported by W.W. Norton & Company, publishers of The Road to Freedom, Economics and the Good Society, by Nobel Prize-winning economist Joseph E. Stiglitz. The Road to Freedom, essential reading for those committed to the American ideal of an economic and political system that delivers well-being, opportunity, and meaningful freedoms for all. The Road to Freedom, available now wherever books are sold.
Listener supported, WNYC Studios.
At the age of 26, filmmaker Rodney Evans was diagnosed with a rare genetic eye condition. When he set out to direct a feature called Brother to Brother, he shared the news with the crew.
I am a low vision filmmaker and I have no peripheral vision. So sometimes if you are handing me a call sheet for the next day, I might not see it.
Evans's new documentary is called Vision Portraits, and it takes a close look at the lives and creative processes of three other visually impaired artists. The film has been streaming on PBS to mark the 30th anniversary of the Americans with Disabilities Act. Now, the ADA was a landmark of civil rights law, and even though it didn't have the kind of cultural impact as, say, gay marriage, it affected an enormous number of people. More than a quarter of all Americans have some form or another of disability. Rodney Evans talked to our producer, Kalalia, about what it means to make art with limited vision.
You don't know when something's going to deteriorate to the point where, you know, you're unable to compose a shot from the monitor and, you know, you're unable to see the emotion clearly on an actor's face. I think I'm trying to figure out what it means to work as a filmmaker, where vision seems so central. You know, knowing that mine will eventually go away.
Can you explain what happened? Like, how did you find out you were losing your eyesight?
I found out that I was losing my eyesight through just a kind of, I would say, like, an accretion of, like, different experiences that I was having. Like, one noticeable thing that was happening was that I would be, traveling in the train station during rush hour, and someone would just appear literally, like, right in front of me, and I just wouldn't have seen them cross my path, and I'd just be like, just, like, really kind of shocked that this person, like, suddenly appeared. So that was one thing that started to happen. Another thing that would happen was that, like, I would be introduced to someone and they would extend their hand to shake my hand and I wouldn't see that they had extended their hand.
And this led you to go see an eye doctor?
Yeah, and they immediately, you know, diagnosed it, and they could tell just from looking at my retinas. In a lot of ways, I feel like I'm just looking for guidance in how to be a blind artist.
So in the film, you talk to three artists, a writer named Ryan, mm-hmm. Kayla, a dancer, and a photographer named John Dugdale. And when you think about John's story, which was really moving to me. I love the scene where he says, you know, his family is gathered around his bedside and, you know, they were like, we were so proud of your career as a photographer, speaking in the past tense. Mm-hmm. And he immediately responded, were, I'm still going to shoot. I'm definitely going to shoot. I'm going to shoot photos a lot more.
I think one of the things that is most impressive about John is, you know, the fact that he lived through the height of the AIDS epidemic. People were dying all around him. There were several times where he had massive strokes and was very close to dying, losing his vision due to AIDS and specifically a condition called CMV retinitis, which tends to be one of the side effects of the AIDS virus. And for John, it happened quite early in his diagnosis. And he came out of it, I think, very aware of the finite nature of time and very aware of the healing capabilities of photography and how he was going to photograph his community and these people that he loved. And, you know, sometimes blindness was going to be part of the subject matter, sometimes it wasn't, but that he was going to use photography as an autobiography.
When I got to St. Vincent's, there were so many people, it was like a war zone. You had to wait sometimes 2 days to get a bed. By that time, I was paralyzed on my left side, and I couldn't hear out of one ear. And I thought, oh man, I thought this must be the sound of the universe. I could hear everything that was happening inside of my body. That was the beginning of my change.
So at the beginning of the film, you stated that you wanted to learn how to be a blind artist. What did you learn in the process of making this film?
I mean, I guess, you know, from the other artists, I learned that vision is more than just, you know, an ocular process. That, you know, what John says, there's so much, so many other venues that you have in your mind and your heart to draw from. And John letting go of his ego, working with assistants, not being so attached to the end result, because he can't see the end result. And so for me, it just gave me permission to like find my own unique personal voice within filmmaking, not to be so hung up on quote unquote rules and to expand the boundaries of cinematic form, whether that's, you know, shooting through a cracked piece of glass to mirror Kayla's limited vision, or using macro lenses over a book to mirror Ryan trying to pass as a sighted person, but the words just being a complete jumble to him. Just really having the audience sit in that perspective and not being afraid of them being slightly confused or having the image be ambiguous, to actually put the audience deeper into each character's experience.
And in this very moment, many people are feeling pretty isolated. You know, we're not able to go to work, many of us.
Right.
Many people are concerned about what the future holds for them, for their families, and even for the country.
Right.
And by watching your film, I guess it occurred to me that some people with disabilities have had to manage these type of feelings of isolation, of loneliness, of overcoming certain obstacles for most of their lives, you know?
Yes.
Is this like an accurate or fair comparison to make?
Yes. I think that that's really true. I think that COVID-19 has made the general population feel in a more visceral way what it's like to be disabled. Having to be much more conscious of potential danger in the world and how to navigate that danger. Like, we all set our own boundaries of what we feel comfortable doing based on, you know, our own definitions, right? So do I feel comfortable walking to the grocery store without a mask? Absolutely not. Do other people? Apparently so, because I would say about 30% of the people on my block walk around without masks, mm-hmm. you know? Yeah, I think it's trying to keep yourself safe in an environment that has become more high risk, in the ways that environments might be more, quote unquote, high risk for a person with disabilities. Like, I or someone with a wheelchair, you know, might have to call around to 10 different restaurants to make sure that their restaurant is accessible, right? Or that public transportation, do you feel comfortable using public transportation? You know, just all of those definitions of what used to be safe, I think, are all up in the air now, in a way that with a disability, it's constantly changing and shifting. And then your perception of what's safe for you changes along with that. I think more people are attuned to their own fragility and that nothing's guaranteed, right? I think disabled people probably know that more than anything.
Filmmaker Rodney Evans. His documentary Vision Portraits is streaming on PBS.org. He spoke with Kalalea, one of our producers.
WNYC Studios is supported by W.W. Norton & Company, publishers of The Road to Freedom, Economics and the Good Society, by Nobel Prize-winning economist Joseph E. Stiglitz. The Road to Freedom, essential reading for those committed to the American ideal of an economic and political system that delivers well-being, opportunity, and meaningful freedoms for all. The Road to Freedom, available now wherever books are sold.